In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning. So in today's readings, and especially in our gospel, Jesus undertakes a significant amount of traveling in Luke's versus the other three, particularly going to Jerusalem. On to Jerusalem is a foreshadowing of what is to come in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And on these travels, Jesus engages quite a bit of praying, quite a bit of preaching, quite a bit of facing opposition. And yet, this is a path for us to journey through for our own formation. As Jesus travels the road between Samaria and Galilee, it is an in-between road. As he journeys through different turns into everyone's land, there is a place where God meets all people. A central theme that Jesus demonstrates is a constant movement to overcome cultural norms and values that are not a part of the gospel. As one of God's creations, humanity has the capacity for intellect through the act of reading, the act of learning, the act of processing, the act of sharing, and hopefully applying what we have learned. However, at times we inject more of our own emotions and biases into encounters instead of examining them for what they truly are. In 1913, Eleanor Porter wrote a book called Pollyanna, which was later adapted into a movie. This story is about a girl who was an orphan sent to live with her aunt, where she began to play the glad game. It's a game that fostered a hopeful and positive attitude she had learned from her father. The principle of this game was to find something to be glad about in any situation. She began to share with others in the town she moved to, as well as with the aunt that had taken her in. Through her actions, she was spreading a different outlook that aimed to transform lives in all situations and hardships. This is simple, but yet it can be taken to the next level of where some are thinking this is leading to an overestimation and being naive. Considering that this is a coping mechanism, it is understandable that it may be applied to the real world, but it is still considered being a part. In 1913, when this book was written, significant biblical and political changes were underway. Cultural developments were taking place, and social movements were emerging in our society, minus the extensivity of technology. But it sounds a little familiar, even to what we see today. Applying this to our daily life of practice allows us not to always focus on the negative. It doesn't take away what is going on. However, when we find inner peace and are grateful for something, it takes us to a deeper level of gratitude and appreciation for God. Gratitude can still be acknowledged even when venting and facing brutal truths, which are sometimes necessary for our overall well-being. The gospel last week on the mustard seed and on faith, Jesus is not concerned about the quality or the quantity of our faith. Jesus teaches us the importance of faith and complete trust in our God. Living a life of gratitude is to embody a living life of faith and following Jesus. Now, Jesus encountered 10 lepers on his way to Jerusalem, the in-between land. These lepers were quarantined because of their skin disease, leprosy. Now, in verses 11 through 14, is structured like a healing narrative. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. This is also a theme of discipleship. Rowan Williams defines discipleship as a way of living, not just the decisions we make or what we believe, but a state of being. The truth sets us free to follow Christ in our whole discipleship, and it cannot be chained. So when the lepers were made clean, they went to the priest. who were the only ones in the community who could determine if someone was clean and re-enter that community and be accepted back. By going to the priest, this is an act of obedience and faith in what Jesus had promised. This is a reminder that acts of kindness need to be acknowledged, even in difficult times, and that gratitude is essential. Then only one leper who had been cleansed came back and prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, thanking him. One out of 10 came back. The one who came back happened to be a Samaritan, a foreigner whose faith was so deep that the Samaritan acknowledged a second chance for praise and thanksgiving. By returning to Jesus, a relationship was established with Jesus and a grace that was sustained. We can have this in us and give thanks wholeheartedly. I wonder how often we give thanks and gratitude wholeheartedly, especially when given a second chance. Yes, at times we are self-focused. We worry about work. We worry about things that come up. We create our own worries when there is no need for a worry or an anxiousness. Our successes and our failures, where our time is actually spent, and are where we are spiritually, or are we spiritually depleted? The sickness of leprosy is not what needs healing here, but rather the lack of kindness for those who deserve to be loved. Nothing is stopping us from acting with kindness. Kindness and gratitude are powerful ways to heal. Healing and salvation are intertwined and cannot be separated, and healing is not a precondition for being grateful. This is a result of God's work in wholeness and to be reconciled. A redirection of faith and life where healing takes place and having a relationship with Christ involves a realization that comes from shifting from an attitude of limitation to one of thanksgiving. A daily practice that can be done is a practice that is intentional on our part, which can change our entire lives even through the hardships. Do not lose sight of the good that is out there that can be shared with others. Learn from each other. Learn to love each other. Learn to accept each other for who they are or for what may be said or done. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors. The gospel is for all, and it requires a response from us to follow and sit with, to listen and speak less. Just as the story of Pollyanna and the glad game and the gratitude of the one leper, what if each of us started a gratitude journal of the things we were grateful for each day, even if that day were tough, big or small? A mindful practice to reflect on appreciation of another, the act of kindness, and the warmth that was created. It is like building a muscle that becomes strong and can endure anything, where an action is taking place, where a radiant light begins to shine above. Find a way to surround yourself with the joyful things. The world is already complicated enough, and I'm not suggesting that we ignore it, but rather to look beyond it and consider how much one small act of gratitude can accomplish and where it may lead. Just as the question was asked this past Wednesday's Eucharist, if Jesus walked up to us, would we drop everything and follow now? If Jesus were to walk up to us, what gratitude and thanks and praise would we share now? In a little while, we will have our Eucharist together. We do it every Sunday, every Wednesday, and in with travels. Listen to the words of the Eucharistic prayer of the Great Thanksgiving, not the manual acts of what Father Brian, I, or anyone else on the altar is doing, but what are the words speaking to you as you listen? The gifts of life and the grace of God. Amen.